Naughty House.
Well, here we are again. Lizzie Borden, part two. If you haven't heard the first part, go and listen to that. This will make absolutely no sense. Where'd we got to? Someone had killed Lizzie's mum and dad. Stepmum and dad, I should say. And the police had just been called, hadn't they, from the picnic. So I'll drop you back in right now. See you in a bit.
Well, I've got a whistle and a stick. Not really what we need. It's not drunk people. It's not prostitutes. That's all we've got.
Yeah, useless. The neighbour, Adelaide Churchill, she is a nosy bitch and sees that there's a bit of a commotion going on.
Ooh,
at the Borden house.
Straight over.
Yeah,
straight
what's
over.
Going on? What's
well, you've got to remember,
on?
No telly.
Curtain twitching.
Yeah. Well, that's very true, actually, no telly. A lot of the problems we've encountered in this podcast, like the stories, come from the fact that people didn't have telly and had nothing better to do than to kill or make up bullshit.
Yeah, or go and have a nose.
Well, some people chose not to. I mean, Fred and Rose West could have been watching Dallas, but chose not to.
Well, you know.
You got to keep up with that zeitgeist. You got to stay relevant. She asks, this is Adelaide, she asks where Abby is. Because no one's been upstairs yet. No one's seen the dead stepmom.
Where's your mum?
They're all concentrating on the dad right now.
Basically, at this point, the only body in the house is the dad.
Yeah.
And the only body that anybody knows about is the dad.
Yeah, no one's been upstairs yet.
Nobody's been upstairs yet.
So, Lizzie says that... I've actually written Leslie, which might have been a bit of a Freudian
slip. You see that, yeah.
Lizzie says that Abby went out to visit a sick friend... did she? Right?
So what? Wait a minute. So Abby left the house.
But she didn't, clearly. But Lizzie says that Abby's gone out to visit a sick friend. There's no evidence of this. We never find out who the sick friend is. So it sounds a bit like bullshit.
Suspicious.
So this is just Lizzie's side of the story, that that's where Abby's gone.
Yeah. I don't think Abby had any friends. Who's she going seeing? She's like a...
She's not middle-aged. She's an old trout.
Yeah. She doesn't have any friends.
He's
bullshit.
He's got a bloke on her for his money who won't even fucking spend it.
Lizzie keeps changing her story and contradicting herself. And Dr. Bowen is seen, apparently, ripping some pages out of his notebook and burning them.
What?
In the Borden kitchen. Now, did he say something about Lizzie that he thought would be detrimental...
To her later
and on.
He might have sucked her off. She might have sucked him off.
Well, if she was a les...
Well, is she a leser? We don't know that she's a leser.
There's only rumours that she's a leser.
There's a rumour that she's had some cock as well.
Yeah. So, he burnt the page. I did hear one thing about maybe she was on a period, and when she was on a period, she went into a weird...
Oh, that's why the blood was everywhere.
...trance-like state where she couldn't control herself. Well, that sounds very Victorian hysteria.
Yeah.
She's on her period, and she
I am
match.
On the blob. I do not know what I am doing.
Good darling.
Do you know what? An interesting fact is about periods... And I'll give you an insight.
Oh, go on.
I'll give you an insight.
Do you know what? My worst fear... period blood. I fucking hate. Oh.
When I was little...
It's the worst thing ever.
When I was little, I watched a lot of films. And in American films, they used to go, and that's the way it is, and we ain't going to get on, period. And I used to think, why has someone got to have a blob to make something important? And it was only when I was probably about 25, I finally worked out that... Period was American for full stop.
Yeah.
I'm not on rags.
Rags.
When I was little, I thought that Anon was a person who wrote loads of poetry.
Yes, I did.
Really? Is that me?
Anon has done some serious writing.
I was like, God, she's done loads. I thought it was like Anne or something.
Anon.
And I only learnt about a year ago that ponies aren't baby horses. If we're talking about shitty things we thought.
They're just a separate thing.
That blew my mind.
I bet it did.
Anyway, none of the police bother going upstairs.
The police are great.
So at this point, dad's been killed, police are in the house.
Yeah.
People are gathering outside as well.
Yeah. One of my favourite...
All the neighbours and everything, there's a crowd outside the house.
One of my favourite...
No one's been upstairs.
One of my favourite photographs is a policeman going in with a sausage roll hanging out of his mouth and crumbs down his tunic.
Just been great.
And you can just imagine the speech bubble saying, fucking hell!
Just turned up from a picnic.
Fucking hell!
Still on a napkin tucked in the top of his shirt.
They weren't happy. They weren't happy.
Well, maybe that accounts for why they did such a really bad job. Adelaide and Bridget go upstairs and they find Abby's body.
So they go upstairs next minute.
Oh!
Everybody rushes upstairs. What's going on up here?
Yeah, there's loads of people tramping in and out, totally contaminating the scene. I mean, obviously they didn't have DNA and they didn't really...
No tape.
They didn't take much stock in fingerprinting either. But still, you don't want to disturb
CSI.
A crime scene. They just take both the bodies and put them on the dining room table.
Oh.
Go on, yeah, you'd dinner off that, would you?
Yeah, but
after the last meal.
Stick a candle in him.
They don't even bother checking Lizzie for blood initially. Like, they're really not on top of the game. And,
So the second body's discovered.
Yeah, they dump them both on the dining room table, have a bit of a look, and... seems like they've been hit in the face.
Bad stuff's happened here.
Yeah. Lizzie is described as being cold and detached. A policeman refers to Abby as Lizzie's mother, and she says, oh, she's not my mother, she's my stepmother. She makes a point of saying it.
Yeah, but I think she might be in shock.
Possibly.
Because, as we all know, innocent until proven guilty.
Yeah. So, at this point, the scene's closed off, tapes run out, guys coming in...
hazmats.
No? Is that not what happens?
No.
There's 2,000 people... Reports say there was 2,000 people stood outside...
Oh, I think they
because there's...
Telegraph Emma at some point and say, oh, you might want to pop on.
Yeah.
You might want to come home, something's
a
happened.
A big kerfuffle going on.
Bloody pigeons dead again.
They probably didn't want to pay for the whole message. They've all just said, oh, come home, pay by the word. The funeral...
Oh, Dad's dead now, it's spent.
Fucker's dead.
Oh, not got their hands on the money just yet.
6th of August, funeral, that happens very quickly. Don't let them bury the bodies, though. They do that right, at least. They keep the bodies, you know. They want to... I think they end up sending the stomachs to Harvard University to check for poison and things like that.
Right, okay. No semen present.
Not so far as I know.
Yeah.
The 7th of August... I've got it as either Emma or Alice Russell, so I'm not exactly sure which one. I'm inclined to think maybe Alice sees Lizzie burning the dress that she may have worn on the day of the murders, a blue dress.
She says that there was paint on it. That's her excuse.
Who has been painting?
Yeah.
No, but they've had a painting contractor in.
Were they?
Yeah, that's true.
Evidently, he didn't do enough job. Because Lizzie Abrol's
After murder. No, she lent on it.
Ah, right.
So after the murders, it's
because there's
seven.
Been fucking blood splattered all over the wall.
They've got a contractor in doing some painting.
Right, so they were murdered on the 4th, and by the 7th, they've already had a contractor.
Yeah,
but you don't want to be traumatic on blood, do you?
See, Jade, I think you're dead set on Lizzie's done this.
I
think your mind's closed here now. You're dead set that Lizzie's the murderer. And you've got to look outside the box.
Have you ever burnt clothes because you got paint on them?
I thought she burnt them because she got them
up. Well, no, that's because I can't afford to buy any more.
That is interesting.
Yeah.
What?
Having a violent period where she squirts blood from her.
Oh, come on.
She's not. They're not the only one with axe wounds.
So Alice says to her, I wouldn't tell anyone you're burning that dress. And Lizzie's like, oh, why?
It's got paint on it.
It's paint. It's no big deal. I always burn
clothes. Well, yeah, no, because, I mean, we're looking at it from our own perspectives of these days. If you get paint on clothes...
Get a bit of varnish.
There's products and stuff that you can use to get rid of. If you get paint on your clothes and then that's it, they're fucked. You've just got to get rid of them. That's the best way to get rid of them. Burn them.
Because she's that used to her dad being tight as fuck. Don't put him in the trash. We've got to pay the trash man.
I like how you're saying trash.
Well, I'm doing it for our American cousins. That means rubbish in real English.
11th of August, she gets arrested. She's...
Boo.
We need to do that again because Paul's going boo, so there'll be a long pause. Okay. 11th of August, she gets arrested.
Boo.
At this point...
I don't think
she's taking morphine for her nerves.
What?
Which I wish some doctor would prescribe that for me. Because that sounds fabulous.
Oh, I've got bad nerves.
Mm.
No, but see, this is what I like. Because when I looked into it, I was looking into Lizzie's testimony. Not Lizzie's testimony, but you know when like they interviewed her?
Yeah.
And because she's obviously...
They do like a pre-trial hearing where they decide whether it's fit to go for trial. Yeah.
She's in shock. They've given her this morphine for her nerves. And Lizzie's account of events were that a dragon flew into the house with a radiator under its wing and hit her father over the head with the radiator. And
what?
So she is high.
High as a kite.
Because she's off her fucking tits on morphine. You can't give a testimony or a statement when you're fucking off your rocker, can you?
Well, it ends up being disregarded, a lot of her testimony, because they say, oh, she was high.
Yeah.
You can't really take it seriously.
Yeah, so you can't take it seriously, can I? And I believe that not long after these first testimonies, when it's all kind of settling a bit, Lizzie and her sister... both put out a $5,000 reward, which
to lure the killer in.
Well,
for
to
evidence.
Lure the killer in, or to
make themselves look a bit better,
make themselves look more innocent than what they are.
Skeptical bastards.
I'm playing devil's advocate here. I'm open minded about this whole situation.
Lizzie Borden haunts my nightmares. I'm terrified of her. Really scared. Because she's a murderer.
With a hatchet.
Yeah.
With that powerful forearm, I'm ready for a trumpet polish.
So Lizzie's been kept in prison.
It's the major.
And the following June, it does end up going to trial.
Can I just say, Lizzie, 10 months in the nick.
So, whoa. Rewind. So, the police look through all the possibilities. Lizzie becomes the prime suspect.
Yeah.
And is arrested.
They search the house.
They search the house, find nothing. They don't find any... Oh, they find the hatchet.
An axe.
They find a hatchet in the cellar that they believe is the murder weapon.
It's got blood and hair on it.
Well, obviously, we don't have...
Well, I think it turns out that that's cow blood and hair.
Right, yeah.
And there's one without a handle. There's a hatchet.
Which looks like it's been freshly broken.
Yeah.
And they say that they look like there was dust put onto the hatchet to make it look like it had been there for a long time.
And I mean, if you're slamming a hatchet in someone's skull, I can see it, the handle breaking off. You know, if you're pulling it out and it's getting stuck in someone's...
No way! Wood is so strong when it's been, like, dried and used as a handle. To snap that off, I don't think that's real. I don't think you could say, even as, like, the biggest butchest leather in the old wide world... You could not snap an axe handle.
We love our friends in the gay community.
I love everybody.
You do.
But you could not snap it off. It's beyond it.
What if you used another axe to cut the handle off?
Then it wouldn't be a snap, it would be a straight cut.
Yeah, you're right.
So why would it be snapped then, and a recent snap?
Yeah, well, I don't know. Maybe it was when fucking Daddy fucking Gordon was chopping up pigeons for fun.
Pie.
But anyway...
To cut a long story short, she's got very good lawyers and she's found...
No, we cannot jump straight in there. She's found
not guilty.
No, hang on a minute. The Keystone cops from the picnic come in.
Yeah.
And there's a few initial...
the picnic police.
There's a few initial things they've got to rule out. And so there's a few theories knocking about who could have done it. So they investigate Uncle John, or whoever he were.
But he was out of town.
He was out of town. Emma was out of town.
Yeah, but some people suspect that she dressed as a man and she was the suspicious figure lurking around the house and then ran back to the New Bedford to receive the telegram.
The other theory about the guy outside the house is... One of the theories is that the maid...
Was having
Bridget.
Bridget Roger, what was her other name?
Maggie.
because obviously Andrew was a hated figure, really, amongst the community. There was, I mean...
You don't do well in business without making a few enemies.
I mean, when they talk about him being a miser, I mean...
Look at Alan Sugar.
There's reports of him, like, if he heard that somebody had a pay rise at work, then he'd put the rent up on the house.
What a guy.
You know, if he heard that, then, so a lot of people dislike the guy. And there are rumours, well, some of the theories are that Maggie's boyfriend was somebody that he'd crossed in the past. And she was somebody in the house that had access
to... So she had something to gain.
...the ins and outs. And I think there's something that's detrimental here that we haven't mentioned at all, and that is the reports of sexual abuse with Lizzie from her father.
Yeah, there is some case to suggest that he was...
I've said it once, I've said it twice, and I'll say it again. Incest is best.
Which I don't think there's a topic that we've covered yet that hasn't had incest involved. But there were
reports
of incest within... Well, whether Andrew was abusing the kids
well-founded?
We don't know.
Well, I think one of the main drivers for the incest charge is the way that she brutally butchered the eyes and faces.
Yeah, so it's more personal.
So, basically, those eyes, you can't look at me anymore, you can't see me anymore. All the axe wounds are on the head and face.
Yeah,
so but would she not do the genitals?
Well, I don't know. And there are some...
But again, though, if it's somebody that is hurt financially... You know, maybe somebody's life's been ruined through this guy. And if it's a bloke, you know, a big, strong guy, and he's ruined the life, you know, maybe his family's life or whatever, and he's just, that blood is boiling, and he goes, it doesn't explain the mother being killed.
No, but if you just go spastic, you just go mental, and you're chopping up anything that's in front of you. You're not like, hey, I'll aim for the heart, or I'll aim for the spleen. You just chop.
Yeah, fuck you. It could have just been a madman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, one of the theories that was initially investigated by the coppers, which I love, and it's not at all pigeonholing people, but they first of all they investigated nutters and immigrants.
Oh well, you've got to go for the nutters, haven't you?
Nutters and immigrants—they're all murderers.
Always the scapegoat.
Always the axe murderers.
What would have been immigrants?
I know, everyone an immigrant?
Yeah.
I suppose the brown immigrants—they weren't so.
No, because by that time,
I'd say the Irish more.
Australia. Oh my God, too many ciders. Please sponsor us, cider company. No, by that time in America, they'd had, 300, 200 years of immigration. So there was still a real separatist thing going on between people whose families had been in America for a long time, well-established. And then still loads of Irish turning up. You know, people from Europe looking for a better life.
Yeah.
Like poor Maggie Bridget.
Yeah. No, definitely.
So it was the immigrants and the nutters who caught... cop for it, first of all.
Well, which they always do. And it
wasn't them, anyway.
No.
It was the dragon with the radiator.
What do you have on the theory that Andrew had an illegitimate child?
Well, yes, apparently he had an illegitimate son, was it? Am I right in saying there were claims written to a newspaper?
Yeah. William Borden. Billy Borden, who was the illegitimate son of Andrew Borden.
Is that for definite?
I don't know if it's for definite
or not. It's never been genetically proven.
Right.
But I think from the research I've been looking into, it is very strongly linked that it was.
Yeah.
He wrote a letter into one of the papers saying, I did it, it was me, basically. I'm his illegitimate son. He'd written me out of his will. He'd cast my mother aside. He was really... And you can believe it, because he was a miserable bastard.
Yeah.
Andrew Borden. And he wanted retribution. And because it had gone beyond financial gain.
Why would he kill Abby?
Well, maybe he was... when Abby was killed, Andrew wasn't home. So maybe he was lying in wait and was disturbed.
Maybe. Yeah.
Or maybe it seems like a big psycho
gamble, you know, to kill someone and then wait, because anyone could have gone up the stairs. It's just chance that they didn't find.
Well, maybe he'd have killed them all.
Maybe.
If it had happened.
It makes me feel panicky when I think about Bridget being so close to both of these
murders. Poor Bridget.
Clint Winders.
It's creepy.
But if what I was saying, then she was in on it all along. She was...
Well, yeah.
Well, that's another theory, isn't it?
That it was... Bridget was involved.
Bridget hired someone.
Because...
not Bridget.
Well, that's...
Lizzie hired someone to come in and commit the murders.
Well, you see, that's the thing with these unsolved mysteries. There's so many...
Yeah, you could speculate
all
day.
There's so many pathways and conclusions that you can come to, but the conclusion the police come to is that Lizzie did it, and she's arrested, and she's put to trial.
Mm.
And before that trial, how many months in prison? Ten months in the nick.
And I can't believe they didn't believe her alibi anyway. Because... Lizzie was very busy during the murders, ironing handkerchiefs.
Who irons handkerchiefs?
Reading a magazine for 20 minutes.
I don't iron clothes.
I do not iron.
Yeah, exactly. I just put them, I hang them up in the wardrobe and then mysteriously the creases have gone.
Yeah.
No,
I think Mr. Tumbus is in there ironing them.
People who iron are just looking for busy work.
Well, I'm afraid Lizzie was ironing handkerchiefs, reading a magazine, and then she was... making fishing laws for the church trip to the fishing thing.
But
the
unfortunately,
next day.
Nobody could clarify that alibi.
No, it wasn't
so
corroborated.
She was arrested and she was charged with murder. Spent 10 months in prison, not within a hometown, because you've got to understand this is Victorian America and women didn't commit crime.
Yeah, there were literally no facilities to hold women in her town.
So she was shipped out and had to be held somewhere else. And I think that is the main issue with the media, is the actual thought process of, could a woman axe someone to death? Which, in that time, it was seen as...
Oh, it's off the wall.
Yeah, a woman killing someone with an axe was like...
Well, that's why the poison theory was so prominent.
Yeah.
Because if you were going to... if you wanted to kill someone and you were a lady, you would never
the
chop them
up. The delicate way is to poison.
You would poison.
So, let's get to the trial.
I love... the victim's skulls were brought out.
Yes.
For the
holes. Now, this is... The one thing that I read is that she got the best...
Lawyers
in the land, which is again going back to O.J. Simpson, is lacking getting the Kardashians in. I don't know which
Kardashian. Well, you'd be fucked if you just got that one.
And
with
just
big
so
tits.
Happens that this guy is what is
the Robert
daughter,
Kardashian of his age.
Yeah, his daughter had a big fat ass and loves sucking dick.
my only defence for this lady, Your Honour, is my tits.
But there's claims that he moulded her. Like we said, the media's involved, and he moulded her.
Good
to,
PR man.
Yeah,
but he basically said, stop
bit,
looking.
Bit like Max Clifford before the shit in her hand. Yeah. PR not too good.
No, the advice that he gave her is, Lizzie, stop looking so happy.
Yeah.
Start looking a bit sadder.
Well, when the skulls come out, she faints, which kind of works
in her favour. She doesn't just...
It's theatre,
they don't just
isn't
come
it?
Out. They don't just come out. The skulls get knocked over out of a bag, which the theory is that this was planned
by
a lawyer, that he will accidentally knock them on the floor, and then that will create a drama in which she sees them and faints, and that'll then all be all in the papers. And this was the first time in the papers, not just like it wasn't just the actual case itself, but. People's clothing was fashion. The fashion was written about and how people were reacting.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of detail about it.
She'd be expected to act in a proper way.
Well, like you said, the PR.
Yeah.
So apparently she was always dressed in black and very eloquently dressed.
Yeah.
And she'd have the fan. She'd cover her face majority of the time. And it was...
Laughing. Dead as fuck.
I'm going to get away with it.
I mean, shh.
Oh, Dad, Mum.
Yeah. No, but the whole defence her defence was just built around her femininity.
Yeah.
And I mean, all the evidence is circumstantial anyway.
For sure. Yeah. The femininity was pushed, and that was because of the...
It was just
and all the men on the, all the people on the jury were men.
Yeah.
I imagine that women weren't
allowed to be on juries.
No.
And the other thing that's goes in Lizzie's favour, shall we say, is her defence solicitor. He is, he was the governor of New England. Is it New England? I think it's New England. And 7 years earlier, he'd appointed one of the judges who was presiding over the case. So I think we can safely say that the mates, you know...
Bit dodgy. I also think they were quite reluctant to say a woman murdered someone because that would necessitate the death penalty.
Right. Okay.
And the last woman who they killed was called Bathsheba Spooner, and she was hanged...
Say that again for me.
Bathsheba Spooner.
Bathsheba?
Yeah. That's the ghost out of The Conjuring, isn't it?
Bathsheba.
It sounds biblical. Anyway, she was hanged in 1778, but it turns out they found out after they did the deed.
She didn't do it.
Well, no, she was pregnant 5 months.
Oh.
So I don't know if the baby... Well, obviously it died. I don't know if it came out. They found it later in a little...
Maybe. As she dropped, it dropped out as well. It's like double hanging.
Double hanging. Hanging from the
placenta.
Double hanging result. Yeah, no, it was an age of innocence for ladies. Yeah. Ladies couldn't do stuff like that.
The jury deliberated for an hour and a half, which isn't very long at all.
No, but by the standards of the time, the trial lasted for 13 days.
Which was a hell of a long time.
Which was a long time, because usually they do a murder trial in a couple of hours.
Yeah,
which is mind-boggling.
So 13 days, you can imagine this fanfare.
So 13 days is massive, absolutely massive. And they got in some key witnesses, and the painter came in on the witness stand and said, yeah, we're doing some painting. So that's
why Lizzie,
can you
give me that 500 quid now?
500 quid? Me dress for 500 quid? That bloody burned the bastard.
Yeah. And so, all the evidence is in. A lot of it is circumstantial. A lot of it is in Lizzie's favour.
I think there's a lot of things pointing towards Lizzie, but like I said, circumstantial.
Yeah.
And
she gets off with it.
She gets off. She gets off.
Well done, Lizzie.
One for the girls.
I don't think she did it.
Yeah. But happy days are afoot.
Yeah, she gets the money. Her and Emma move into a nice house together.
Yeah.
Bring on the money. She moves up the hill.
We got the money.
They call the house Maplecroft. And
we
got
the money.
She starts calling herself Lizbeth.
She adds a few extra letters.
Yeah, no, she changed. There's an argument to say that she changes her name to try and get away from the fact that she's been dragged all over the place.
Yeah, but if you want to get away from it, move somewhere else. She carries on living in the same place that she's grown up. She's all right.
Yeah, but you know why that is, Chris? Because it's a massive fuck you. Because all the people who have been around her during the trial, they all supported her. All the high society. Mm. In that town, which is called Falls River, I think, they all said she didn't do the murder, she was a lady, she was respectable, she didn't do it. And then as soon as she's proven to be not guilty, they don't want to hang about with her.
She's never accepted inside.
Because she's completely ostracised, and they're all saying, oh, fuck you, Lizzie.
Would you want her in your house? I wouldn't.
Yeah. There's a massive thing that says she stayed just to say, fuck you, I am fucking innocent.
Oh, and in 1897 she gets accused of shoplifting again.
Yay!
Again!
She got fucking millions in the bank by this time.
Well, it's like Winona Ryder.
It's like fucking, never mind Winona Ryder, fucking Richard Madeley.
Oh my god! I'd forgotten that.
Judy. Woolworths.
Who was the chef?
Oh, cleavage.
Oh, Warrell Thompson.
Warrell Thomas. Warrell Thomas. He got done as well, Thompson.
Yeah. Oh my god.
Feeding bastard.
But I think Lizzie gets to find some peace within herself Because,
well, doesn't she start, like...
She gets to enjoy her life.
And then she starts hanging around with actresses and stuff. Yeah. And which, one thing that I heard in the documentary, which I found quite weird, was that actresses were regarded on the same level as prostitutes.
Yeah,
which is like...
It being a respected profession is relatively recent. In 1905...
So, I mean, it's a bit like... it's a bit like the association with Lindsay Lohan, really.
Well... Lindsay's a good, upstanding member of the community. No, but it's a bit sad as well, though, after the trial. Because as the years go by, Emma, who is Lizzie's big sister...
Which I think, before you say this, I think we should re-tell that they were like you said,
they were so close.
Two peas in a pod,
yeah.
And they grow apart.
1905, Emma moves out.
Two balls in a sack.
Possibly because Lizzie's having an affair with an actress called Nance O'Neill.
Oh, the lesbian stuff coming out again.
And Emma and Lizzie never spoke again. Maybe because Emma was a bit jealous because she wasn't getting any.
Oh, Lizzie's a lesbian.
From an actress / prostitute. Mm.
Yeah.
Then 1st of June, 1927... Lizzie dies of pneumonia, and Emma dies 9 days later.
Yeah, only nine days
between them both.
So that's kind of interesting, if you think there might have been a glitch in the Matrix. Mm. But I don't know, I mean, it's a bit of a sweet tale, because they get the money, but then ultimately Lizzie loses what she had dear to her.
Since she got released and was found innocent. I mean, she lived the high life afterwards. They had the big house.
Yeah, she did, but she was never accepted.
I mean, the first thing she did was got the running water and a toilet.
Yeah, well, I think one of the things is that, like, the Borden family in Fall River, where they lived, there were obviously, I think there was like 100-odd of them, and like 96 of them all lived on top of the hill and had shitloads of money. And then there were them four who lived in shitty little fucking house with no running water. And when she finally got to go and live on top of the hill, none of the family ever spoke to her ever again. They weren't interested in her. So in that way, it's a bit sad.
What was it all for? Even though I bet when she put her dainty little bum on that porcelain for the first time, she thought, oh, worth it.
Yeah, well worth that. Although, how am I going to get this round the U-bend?
When she held that bog brush in her hand for the first time.
Come on, Maggie, come and scrub. No, Maggie had nothing to do with them after this, I feel like I should say.
Did she not?
She got well out of there.
Yeah, as you would, I suppose.
Because she's probably getting fucking bumped off.
This might be a good time to pass over to Dr. Banks, our special guest.
Hold! Let's do that.
Dr. Banks, can you come and look at this? It's been itching and weeping for fucking ages. Keeps dripping yellow stuff out of it. Fucking killing me.
Give it here.
Come on, Dr. Banks.
It's like I've heard it's like a snake bite. You've got to suck out the poison.
Suck out the poison.
I'm going to leave.
It's like a jumbo sausage.
Well, we're here with Mairead, who has a BSc in psychology from...
Internet
University of Central Lancashire. Well, that's almost the same thing.
Yeah.
So you're here to give us some psychological insights into Lizzie Borden.
I am, as much as possible.
Welcome to the show.
Welcome, special guest.
She's travelled very far to get here. Yeah. 100 miles, I think.
100 feet, not even.
I hope you can tell mine and Mairead's voices apart, because we do sound quite similar.
We are voice twins.
I might put an accent on for this. So, Lizzie Borden, do you think she did the murder?
Is that the question, whether I thought that she did the murder
or
not?
Yes, do you personally think she did the murder?
I personally do think she did the murder. That's my professional opinion.
And why is that?
Well, if you actually look at the type of murder, because it's quite a personal murder, isn't it? You know, like... the
intimate.
Intimate, and he's very passionate. It was multiple bloods. Like, they had something like...
Smash the fucking head in.
Exactly. Yeah. Over and over and over. Have you seen the autopsy pictures?
Yeah,
there
is
no face left.
The eyeball split in half, I believe.
Yeah. Absolutely disgusting. It was so personal that you'd think it'd be someone who was close to the couple. And it was someone who had a problem with the couple. You wouldn't... If you didn't know them, you'd come in, hit them once, be out there, take what they had, you'd be gone.
Yeah, but are you sure that, like, a feeble woman could administer such devastating axe blows.
Well, have you seen pictures of her? She's not that feeble.
She's a bit of a bruiser.
I think she's a bit of a delicate flower.
A lot of women go for the poisoning when they're killed.
Yeah, but I think as well, she was a spinster, she was at home. I think she was a bit of a one-off. If you look at her previous crime as well, she stole from her mum and dad. Well,
oh, she liked to a bit of nicking,
she
didn't
bit,
she?
Yeah. And
black
I think
fingers.
Yeah, because I've looked a lot about whether she's a psychopath or not.
But I know who she's like.
Yeah, you reckon she was?
I think I actually looked at someone who'd done a psychopath test on her, but it was obviously...
Is this a modern day
test? It's 130 years, like, yeah.
Right.
The PCLR, have you heard of it?
No, yes.
What does PCLR stand for?
Oh, it stands for... What?
Maureen's referring to a highly detailed psychological note.
Believe it or not, I did a whole dissertation on the PCLR and I still don't know what it stands for. So, it's something
the value
like,
of British education.
It was Stephanie Hartzell and Wade Myers did it. And it's basically a psychopath test that's a 20-item scale.
Psycho cum loves penis.
Well, that might be what it stands for. I have written it down somewhere, but notes cannot be found.
Never mind.
No.
How did she score on that?
She only got... Well, it's out of each item, 20 items, I was rated at 3.
3?
Yeah.
I got a 5.
1 to 3. No, but it was 1 to 3 on each item, so it could have gone up to 60, 20 times 3, 60. And she got 10.
What would the normal person get?
A normal person needs less than 5.
All right, so she's up there.
She is above the norm, but she's also above normal, like unincarcerated females and abuse survivors. So someone who would actually have a reason to attack someone.
Mid-range.
Which, you know, there's rumours.
Yeah.
There's rumours gauge. She's well done.
Well, exactly. The problem is, she only got enough. There was only enough information to score her on 8 of the 20.
Well, they're always looking for, like...
Yeah, I suppose, yeah.
So bed wetting
really
and things
well,
like that in psychopaths, which I suppose they wouldn't have any...
Well, there's a three triad in the thing.
Bed wetting, fires, or killing animals,
there's a triad,
like
which is
ninjas.
Three... Yeah, that's the thing. If you're a ninja or a gangster... what was it? You know, Jay.
Killing animals,
yeah.
Wetting your bed, and is it starting fires, or have I made that one up?
Starting... Yeah, 30 fires.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I've done all three of them.
Yeah.
Well, you're on your way.
A psychopath went drunk.
Yeah. But if you do think about it, this happened 130 years ago-ish.
Yeah.
100 and what, whenever.
Yeah, yeah.
When was it? 1892.
1892, yeah.
But you can't kill her to her way.
There's no way that you'd be able to fill in the 20 items from 120 years ago.
No.
They didn't do any tests on her then.
Yeah.
Didn't have the tests to do. So.
And you're only going off hearsay then as well, aren't you?
Yeah. A lot of it is from, you know, the court records, because I've read like a transcript of what they were saying in court, and most of it has come from that.
I heard that mostly what she said in court was, I am a lady!
Yeah. Whilst fanning.
There's a lot of yes sir, no sir, not really any detail
three
answers.
Three bags full,
yeah.
Sir.
She's
yeah.
quite cold, or she comes off that way.
Yeah, that's another thing, because the psychopaths are known as being very callous. I've even got some info on like a great-great-grandson, I think it is.
Oh, she has living...
Living relative, of course she does. It was only like 130 years ago.
Yeah, but she didn't have a kid.
But it was like, I think it's on the dad's side of the family, her dad's side
oh,
of the family.
Oh, it's like a grandma.
Like,
nice,
I think it's like cousin.
Right.
Somewhere. And he's actually a neuroscientist.
Oh.
And he's like published all sorts. And he's called James Fallon, not Jimmy Fallon. Don't think I'm the same person. I don't think, I hope not. And he actually looked at his own brain scan accidentally. Someone he'd had a PET scan.
Accidentally?
Yeah, he had a PET scan because he does it
it's
of himself.
It's like when you'd see something
yeah.
you shouldn't do it.
Yeah,
like,
and he was like,
shut up.
Sawdust.
Yeah. And
he was just in a pile of all these other PET scans that he definitely knew was psychopath, and he was just going through them all. I was like, yep, psychopath, because he could tell by the makeup of the brain. His was on the bottom, and he was a psychopath as well, and he's a distant, well, four generations away from Lizzie.
Do you know what makes a psychopath, what's the difference just looking at the scan? Do you know?
At the scan, I think it's less, I think it's your frontal lobes.
Yeah.
There's less... I think that's where all, you know, where you go on, Paul, you look like you...
I think it's because one half brain and one half Play-Doh.
That could be it. It looks like Play-Doh, it could definitely be Play-Doh. But, yeah, I think it's your frontal...
There's all those little, like, devils and stuff dancing around and
stuff. Yeah, sticking it with a little pitchfork.
Yeah. So that probably gives it away.
Definitely.
Dead angel rotting on the skull floor.
Left-hand side.
Yeah. Can you please say some psychology-related words that we can just fire off?
Yeah, that'd be good.
Instantaneous gratification, is that one?
It's a long word. Yeah,
it's more like two words.
I'm not good with the keywords.
Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
Is that in the dictionary? Oh, also, I forgot about this as well. You know, that guy we were talking about, that fella, the one who's related to Liz.
Oh, yeah. Jimmy Fallon.
Yeah, his mum, like, when he found out he was a psychopath, was like, read this book. And she was like, what book? He's like, it's called Killed Strangely. And he's like, right, I'll just go away and read it, I don't know why. Turns out, he's 6 times great-granddad.
Also related to Lizzie.
Yeah,
right.
It's all on his dad's side of the family. I can't remember the last name, but that's how he's related to Lizzie.
Mm-hmm.
6 times great granddad was the first recorded case of matricide in the US during the witch trials. So
what's matricide?
Killing your mother.
Oh.
The first ever recorded one. So that's obviously like 60
years. I knew, I just, yeah. You know, for the benefit of the listener.
Benefit of you fucking
imbecile listener. Yeah. And, but the book also goes on to say that there's, since this man, there's been 7 other male murderers in his family.
Oh, so Lizzie's guilty as hell.
That does make me think.
By the sounds of it, I'd have said a father comes into the psychopath category as well, possibly because
The psychopath gene actually goes down the female line because it travels on the X chromosome of the female line.
Oh yes, it's the scientific detail that I wanted.
You could not, you did, you're not a psychopath, but if you
don't know what Rebecca's done.
Well, you'd never know. Ignore that. And that travels down the female line, so that's why males are more likely to be a psychopath, because if you have the X chromosome from your mum, and it's a psychopath chromosome, and then you've got your X chromosome from your dad, this one will water out from your dad. It'll water out the one from your mum. Right. So you've got less chance of being a psychopath if you're female. But if you're male, you only get your X chromosome from your mum. You don't get it from your dad.
Yeah, yeah.
So if you're a male and you get this like psychopath chromosome...
Oh, so it's not watered down anyway.
You just get the full chromosome from your mum. That's why males are more chance.
Yeah.
The cycles are, we could call that.
So that's probably does explain why all the men on her side of the family have been the murderers. But she could have been a carrier, is what I was thinking. And maybe that might have prompted her to be more of a... I'm shaking because I'm cold, by the way. That's why I'm sounding like I'm wobbling.
Bloody hell, BBC. Do you want to invest in some more coal for the fires?
The London studio. Yeah. I think she was just... I don't think it's anything to do with chromosomes. I think it was to do with the fact that she was just pissed off living in a shitty house with no hot water.
Yeah. That could be the reason. She was probably pissed off because her dad had bloody loads of money.
He had millions and millions of pounds and they had to have an house with no corridors. Mm. And cold water.
Mm.
Probably, yeah.
And she would have had a good accent for all bean flicking she'd been doing.
Oh, yeah, probably that. She would fall on leather, wouldn't she?
She had power in that right arm.
And that's the expertise that we ask you here for.
She'd fall on leather.
On that note, thank you very much, Mairead. That was really interesting. That's Mairead Banks, graduate of the University of Central Lancashire in psychology.
I hope you learned something.
Our expert for the week.
And don't message me and saying it's all wrong, because it might be, but I don't care.
Oh, leave her alone.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mairead.
Bye.
Bye.
Well, that was nice, that, having a bit of professional insight. That's what you'd call it.
No, it's good to know that we can get in these highly paid special top guests.
Professionals. Yes.
Yeah.
Right, I think we've covered it all, but I mean, where are we going for personally?
Well, yeah. Just one last thing.
You think
thing.
She's guilty
she
as fuck.
Fucking did it.
I don't think she did it.
I don't think she did it.
Are you being serious? You really don't?
Well, what about... there was one last thing to consider.
Go on.
There's a lady called Ruby Cameron. There's a lady called Ruby Cameron. And some 60 years later, after...
yes, she was a nurse.
After the whole event, she... She came forward with a little nugget of information.
I don't believe this.
Oh, go on.
And it was that Lizzie had a boyfriend. And obviously, this boyfriend was kept tightly under wraps. Because it's, you know, that age, you can't have a boyfriend.
Yeah.
He was a bit of a ne'er-do-well. And
he was a ruffian.
Yeah, he was a bit of a ruffian.
Scoundrel.
And Lizzie... And,
a bit like Billy from Kez. Yeah.
And Lizzie, I'm not saying that Lizzie was innocent, but it is said that Lizzie confessed, or I think it was Lizzie, in her dying days, had told this nurse that it was her and her boyfriend who'd planned the murder.
That relationship obviously didn't last.
Well, maybe it didn't last, but it was her and her boyfriend who'd planned the murder, and the boyfriend was the man... He was seen hanging around outside.
Yeah, I heard that. Yeah.
So I'll just leave that one with you.
On the grapevine.
So there you have it.
Mm, you can see Lizzie Borden on The Simpsons, as I've said. Also, there's a really good Alfred Hitchcock Presents episode where it turns out that Emma's the murderer, which is really creepy and really good. It's really interesting. I think it's on Netflix, actually. So
there's shitloads of books if you like reading. I don't read too good. So I don't really use books.
Paul's more of an audio book kind of guy.
Yeah.
Did you see the Christina Ricci film?
Christina Ricci was like one of my, like...
When I was
younger, like Casper was the first time that she...
What about Wednesday Addams?
Oh, yes.
Big into that.
Oh.
It's not a very good film, but it
when I was younger...
Paedophile,
you know. No, when you're...
Paedophile.
When I was a child as well...
Paedophile.
It does have a really good scene. It's not a good film, but it does have a really good scene where Emma's been sticking up for Lizzie the whole time, and after the trial, Lizzie just leans over and whispers into Emma's ear, and we don't know what she says, but Emma's horrified and never speaks to her again, and I love that.
I did it.
Yeah, there's loads of material.
I didn't.
There's loads of material on Lizzie Borden. Lots to read about.
Yes, go over it. Well, I kind of think we haven't got anywhere. We've just told you a story.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it though. It was
very
a
long podcast, a lot to cover.
Yeah.
But, you know, what can you do? It's a big topic.
Well, if you like listening to three Londoners talking about the.
Just a minute, I'm just going out the peaches and pears. Peaches and pears.
What
it's all about family.
No, it's not.
You slags.
It's all about green liquor. Buy a mess. Green liquor.
Should we do some shout outs?
Yeah. Before we go, we definitely need to do some shout outs.
That's some lovely correspondence.
Yeah, listeners, I'm still working on setting up the mail address because I am interested to receive your.
Well, I'm sure.
Liz, anthrax.
I'm sure Lizzie would have sent you some stuff, but all the pigeons are dead.
Anthrax bombs. I've just got to get a nice mail address, and then we'll be safe. But the first person to shout out to is Jack from the Isle of Man.
Is that who nearly cut his leg off?
Yeah,
the strimmer.
Oh, the strimmer.
Don't forget to send us a photograph when you lose your leg.
Jack. Who else we got? Can I just mention Angus as well? Because I sent Angus some stickers. And if anybody else wants stickers, just drop us your address and I'll send it.
Yeah,
back.
And we've got your...
It was good. Oh, and he's...
We've got your episode suggestion for the Marie Celeste on the list.
Yeah, cheers, Angus. That was great. Chloe.
Chris, guys.
Chloe Banks.
Who?
Oh, who?
Sounds rough.
Yeah, she's a bit of a dickhead, but cheers anyway. And Charlton Brown, we have to give very special thanks to, because he sent us a lovely email, which we're going to read soon in our mailbag.
Oh, yes, was that the email? That was a lovely email. Yeah, go from there again. Charlie Brown.
Yeah, Charlie Brown sent us, I'm assuming not the Peanuts Charlie Brown, a really great email about...
Chris?
What?
Is it your cousin?
I haven't thought about that.
No.
Is it your wife?
The guy who does the wheels?
Is it your boyfriend?
No. It could be. Anyway. Charlie, if you're interested, you know, maybe we could go out on a date.
Incest is best! Yes! This one's going out to the Browns!
That was a lovely email, though. Yeah, I did read that. Well, we'll put that in the mailbag. I'm going to read that out. Definitely.
If you want to get in contact with us, we're thepennymarthouse@gmail.com. Search Penny Marthouse on Facebook and at Penny Marthouse on Twitter.
And have your stamps at the ready for the address, which will be coming.
Just give your home address. Why are you not giving your home address?
Because.
What are you scared of?
I'm not scared of anything. I'm just about to move. So if I move houses, don't let us go into the wrong place. No. Thanks for that, listener.
I'm sure your neighbour would forward any.
Yeah.
No. They're very old. They're very, very old. They're very old. And also, I don't want you to get in touch with my neighbours because I have sex with them.
Could get awkward. Well, shall we wrap it up?
Covered everyone? Yeah. No, that was good. I enjoyed it. Lizzie, innocent.
Who's on the next episode?
Oh, shall we give a clue for our next topic?
Yes, let's give a clue.
My clue's going to be...
I can't even remember what the next episode is.
You picked it.
Oh, yeah.
My clue.
I need a wee.
This will make you better. I've got a hammer and a spike.
Ooh.
See you soon.
Bye.
Well, there you have the ending. The clues no longer apply. Unfortunately, the recording of our next episode got lost, so we were going to do asylums, but you'll just have to imagine how wonderfully funny it was, because it was a dream, but you know, you'll never hear it. So I think our next episode will be Dracula, so you can look forward to that. A lot of people have been asking what we bleeped out in Lizzie Part 1. I think let's do a bit of a competition. Tweet us, Facebook us. Who do you think we bleeped out in Lizzie Part 1? It must have been pretty offensive for us to bleep it out, so consider that. We'll send you some stickers if you get it right. We did a few shout-outs on the Asylum episode that now I'm going to have to try and remember off the top of my head who we said. Oh, God. Anthony Smith, Alex Howarth, Joe McDonald, Emily Taylor, Katie Harkin... there's probably more. Tom Quay, Rebecca Webster, thank you very much for everyone who's supported us and shared us and liked us and given us reviews. Please come in. We absolutely love to hear from you. I think I'm going to pass over to our mailbag section right now, because otherwise it'll just be forever until we get to it. So I'll let you listen to that, and I'll say bye for now. See you, everyone. See you next week. Listener mail. This is from Charlie Brown, which is a fantastic name. Dear the Penny Marthouse. Oh, I should say, listen to the Beasts of Britain episode if you want to fully comprehend what we're talking about here. Okay. As a former inhabitant of Southend-on-Sea, sorry, I can't do an Essex accent, I was intrigued to hear mention of my hometown on your programme. Although born and raised in the Essex seaside borough, I was, until you informed me of him, entirely unaware of Ratman. It is, however, unsurprising, as I was profoundly atypical amongst my peers, since my parents were married adults unrelated to one another. Well then. At school, I was therefore discouraged from forging friendships with my classmates, many of whom had sibling parents either enrolled or teaching in the same school, few of whom could string together a coherent sentence intelligible to anyone outside their intimate circle, and suffered from the combined impact of chronic inbreeding, fetal alcohol syndrome, and being unused to food that hadn't been mechanically reclaimed from an abattoir floor and fashioned into the shape of a cheaply animated cartoon character. He goes on to beautifully describe life in this town. It was very funny and I loved it very much. It made my day when I got this email. Anyway, to cut a long story short,
I left South End on Sea as quickly as I could. My parents had given me a full and unequivocal written apology for bringing me up in such an environment. As my father is wont to say, you need shit to grow roses. Although the only rose you're likely to find in South End today will be a tattooed. Will be tattooed in the gap twixt the top of a G-string and bottom of a bra on a bottle blonde, masticating, obese teenage girl pushing a pram, ashtray upon her distended belly, calling them a lingering toddler by the endearing pet name, cunt. From this fertile ground, the crooked rose of Ratman has bloomed. Who knows what other botanical quirks will be discovered if you are unwise enough to put your ear to Southend's poison soil. Oh, well, thank you, Charlton Brown. That's the most beautiful email I think I've ever received, and we're very grateful for this update on Southend on Sea. And I'm not going to say we'll do a field trip because it sounds horrible, but I'm glad you escaped. Cheers. Remember, the pennymarthouse at gmail.com. Search pennymarthouse on Facebook, at pennymarthouse on Twitter, and rate, review, share, all that shit.